Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I've got to tell you that our next guest really is a hero, and certainly through the kind of challenges that he's experienced. We actually had him on the show in 2019, Howard Butler, and he's joining us again because he is doing phenomenal things. So Howard is the Managing Director and Head of Research and Development at Cancer Heroes, which is a support group for head and neck cancer, HNC, and he is a cancer warrior. So he's had 7 recurring incidents of cancer in 9 years since he was diagnosed, 72 sessions of radiation through his head and neck area, 12 months of chemotherapy. So he's been through it. He knows what it's all about. He knows what it is to live with pain, to live with uncertainty, to live with a prognosis from a doctor who says, get your orders, get your affairs in order because you don't have much time. And here he is 9 years later, and he is the managing director and head of research at Cancer Heroes. So we're so delighted to have Howard Butler back on the show just to tell us about the amazing things that he's doing and share a little bit of his story and catch us up for those of you who weren't listening in all the way back in 2019. Howard, welcome. So wonderful to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Nikki. It's awesome to be back again.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to the Deal Link Show. So Howard Butler is our first guest on the show today. As I said, he's the Managing Director and Head of Research at Research and Development at Cancer Heroes, which is a support group for head and neck cancer. And he's a cancer warrior. You know, April is oral head and neck cancer awareness month. So Howard, all the way back in June 2012, you returned from a trip in Botswana, and you woke up and you couldn't breathe. Just take us, our audience, through, if you can, quite quickly through this incredible journey over the past 9 years.
Yes, thanks, Nikki. Yeah, it's been an amazing journey, and it's been the best time and the worst time of my life. I can just put it in those few words. But yes, it all started with issues surrounding, acute sinusitis. When I got sick, I would cough up blood, and, you know, all kinds of funny little things were happening for a long period. And then, like you said, that time when I went to Botswana and I came back, and I literally woke up that next morning and I couldn't breathe. My nose was blocked. You know, it felt like someone sitting on my chest, like someone strangling me. It was the weirdest sensation. And then I decided, you know, this is not going to work. And I went and I spoke to a friend, and they said to me, no, I need to go and see a specialist as quick as possible. And that's when I went to see our dear friend, Dr. Friedman, and who is now officially an adopted wimpy of mine. So he's an adopted uncle of mine. And he was able to determine that I had a tumor that was really, it was really big, but it was hidden behind everything in my face. So it wasn't very easily seen by, you know, the doctors that were looking at me. So the GPs were looking at me and they were going, you know, you're battling with sinus, you stop smoking, you know, get a bit more exercise and things like that. And those were the kind of prognosis that they gave me. But this tumor was just growing and growing in the back of my nasal cavities behind everything. And what it was doing was it was actually breaking my cheekbone.
Oh,
and that's
goodness.
What was causing this unbelievable pain in my sinuses. And eventually, well, that's where it got to that stage where this was so big, it was pressing against everything from the back that it was actually stopping me from being able to breathe properly. And that's where, you know, where it ended up. Now, you know, after all these years, we've tried to figure out how long this took. And the team, the multidisciplinary team that worked on me over the years, like Dr. Friedman and Professor Dondi at St. John College, and that, you know, we spoke about it and we said, you know, probably that was growing there for many, many years. So probably even 5 to 10 years before it got to that stage where it was literally breaking the bone.
Wow.
And And so, you know, that was a change in my approach to this whole, journey of cancer. And I took it as purely as an experience and how I must deal with this as an experience and what does it mean to me. And that's when it started. And I didn't blame anybody for it. I didn't fight with anybody for it, luckily. And that's where it started. And then we did extremely heavy radiotherapy and chemotherapy. And Professor Dondi and I, we've spoken at a couple of conferences and that together. And the last one we spoke at before COVID hit, the big joke was that he spoke after me and he said, "Yeah, he was the nice guy. He gave me 3 months to live." You know, so that's kind of like a little joke between us. But yeah, that's how serious it was. So it got to a point where it was literally so life-threatening that some of the doctors that were working on me, that first cancer that I had, they didn't even think I would make 3 months. You know, they thought it was too bad. And, you know, how we want to put it, but, you know, we made it through it. And The journey started on a whole lot of different fronts. Now, I must say, I had an awesome team. There's a team of about 7 different doctors in different disciplines that assisted me, and they made it possible for you and I to be speaking today. Because if it wasn't for that, I would literally not be speaking today. And then there's a father that we also have to thank, because if it wasn't for him, we'd also not be sitting here. That's also 100% true. So, So that's you know, the basis of it. And then we knew that we would get recurring incidents. And the recurring incidents did happen. So I'm just going to go through them very quickly. So I had parotid in my, your salivary glands, Then I had base of brain, which was the secondary part of the big tumor, because there was obviously, you know, it's like taking sticky tape off something. There's always a little bit of sticky tape left over. Mm-hmm. And some of that was left over when the tumor left the bottom of that area. And then I had on my right lung, and on my spine, in the middle of my spine. And then I had a 3.5-centimeter tumor next to my pituitary gland, which switched off my right eye. And we irradiated through there, and somehow we got my right eye to switch on again, and which is a miracle in itself. And that worked really well. And then the last thing that I had in 2019 was a tumor between C3 and C4 in my spinal cord. And once again, we radiated that, and we did a lot of chemo on that, and we got it out. And that's where I'm sitting today. You know.
Wow,
and
Howard, what a story! What a journey! Yeah. So I want to go back a little bit, because, and I think this is a very important point, and I know that you are very passionate about this point, because you have said that earlier detection would have changed so much of your journey. And you've said, and I've looked at the symptoms of head and neck cancer, and something like this persistent problem with the sinuses, coughing blood, inability to breathe. You know, if you do drink, if you do smoke, obviously you've got a higher risk. So, and you couldn't see anything. So it's not as if you were picking up a lump here and a lump there, but persistent symptoms, persistent things that take place, pains or illnesses that, you know, you try and take the medication, but it doesn't go away. It seems to come back. You're saying, and it's a very important message, these could be, we don't want to live, we don't want to be neurotic, but they could be warning signs, and don't overlook them.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, even, you know, when we do early detection and we do talks and things on this, you know, we try and make people understand that, you know, it's not, and nothing against Google, but it's not a Dr. Google thing where, you know, if we say that, if you're, let's say, for instance, you have constant nosebleeds, or you have, like you said, you're coughing up blood, or, you know, heavy sinusitis, don't go onto the internet and then go and read that now you're going to die tomorrow, because that's not the case. Those things could be, like you say, it could be starting points for something that is bad, that could lead to that cancer. So I always take the step with my friends, even. I say to them, if you go to the doctor for sinus, for instance, right, and you've got acute sinus, and yes, they give you, let's say they give you cortisone and they give you some antibiotics and everything like that, and it goes away, and in 2-3 weeks' time, it comes back again, and this starts happening as a regular thing, I believe that it's time for you to go and see a specialist in that area, because then an ENT will look at it different to your GP, and they will have the tools then to be able to determine whether it's good or bad. It might be something very simple that's actually not bad, you know, but it could be something really bad like what mine was. My problem with mine was that was the thing. They gave me drugs that made it feel better, and we thought, okay, well, it's gone, you know, it's fine. And then, but then it came back and came back and came back. But the other thing is the blood tests that they did on me, because that specific cancer that I had does not show up in blood tests. They would do, you know, cancer markers and things like that, and they wouldn't find it. And they say, okay, no, you're all fine. There's no cancer. However, head and neck is different. So you've got to go and look at it from a different perspective and say, okay, if these things continuously happen to me, maybe I should go and see someone, you know, that specializes in that area. And that's what we keep saying to people, you know. And like you say, don't freak out. It's, you know, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but, you know, take that step and go and look at it from a different angle. That's all.
Yeah. Howard, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, let's chat about what you're doing now, you know, Head of Research and Development and the Managing Director at Cancer Heroes. Tell us a little about Cancer Heroes and what you guys are up to. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Deal Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. And I have on the show today Howard Butler, who's the Managing Director and Head of Research and Development at Cancer Heroes, which is a support group for head and neck cancer. He's also a cancer warrior because April is Oral Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Month. So Howard, before the break, was sharing his story, being diagnosed in 2019, having a range of different cancers, going for chemotherapy, radiotherapy. And so Howard, also realizing that you had so much privilege on your side, that you could have this incredible team of doctors, that if it was someone else who wasn't in your position, they wouldn't be able to get through what you got through just simply because of the support and the kind of treatment that you had access to. And so this initiated the formation of Cancer Heroes. Am I correct?
Yes, that played a huge role in it. Absolutely.
So tell us, what is Cancer Heroes all about?
Okay, so back in the early days there were two foundations that we started. The one was Face Value Foundation, and the other one eventually became Cancer Heroes, specifically for head and neck cancers. The reason being was, you know, 10 years ago, if you couldn't find much information anywhere on head and neck cancers, it wasn't well known at all, and So that is why we decided, you know, we need to get information out there, because it is real, and it was growing and at an enormous rate. And that's really how we started. And what happened was Professor Dale Howes, who's now head of prothodontics at Sydney University, by the way, him and I, we started the first side with the head and neck side, which was Face Value, and then about a year or two later, we changed it into Cancer Heroes, because what happened was there were a lot of people from a whole lot of different ranges of illnesses in that region that wanted to be part of this part of the group, and then it became that. And also because there were two guys that were with us in our support group. I used to call him Uncle Woody, and Ian Lucas. And, you know, they were passionate about the Cancer Heroes name. And so that's really how we then kept on to Cancer Heroes and became that. So through that, we joined the Cancer Alliance and started, you know, entering the mainstream of the cancer foundations across South Africa in that field, and then focused on specifically on head and neck cancers to assist, you know, from the hospitals to corporate and that whole approach. And that's really where we were on that. And that's the kind of thing, you know, like you say, if I was in, and I think I've said it a million times, if I got diagnosed when I was staying in the Free State, I don't believe I would have survived this. I don't. I think the team and the level of support and from the medical to the support systems, from everything from rehab to the people that were doing speech therapy, the people that were doing everything from the therapy to loosen up my spinal cord after radiation, all that kind of thing, it assisted me tremendously to get to this point. And that's the good part of it, which allows me now to be able to put that passion into a different world to help people that don't have access to that and really change, you know, at least change that approach instead of trying to go and start a new medical company that does that. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. Let's look at it from a different angle again.
Howard, you talk about in the early stages, you were saying already you were looking at starting these foundations, the two foundations. And I'm so curious because, I mean, you've really had a tough time. You've been told three times that you were going to die. You've been paralyzed for a period of time. Your one eye switched off, excruciating pain. You talk about taking six tremor sets a day just to get through the pain, right? So when you're going through this, you can shrink within to yourself because you want to survive. You want to use your energy properly. I'm just trying to project how I would deal with this, and I can't possibly project how I would deal with this, but that's what you're doing. You just want to minimize everything. And yet you did the opposite. For you, it was about reaching out and helping others. And how is it possible when you're going through so much? And it's not just what you think is going to happen in this future, but physically in this moment, the extreme excruciating pain, the fear of not walking, the fear of not being able to see. How? Where did that come from to go, I want to help other people?
I'm a ginger kid.
Oh, is that it? I see.
I always joke about that one. You know, we were at a dinner the other day, and a friend of mine said to me, how many friends you got? I said, I don't know. I can't tell you. He says, oh, you don't have any friends. I'm like, why? He says, because you're too positive about everything. I'm like, really? You really want to look at it that way? Okay, fine. I think the biggest thing was that when I was diagnosed, the first thing that I realized that it was my experience and that I had to deal with it. I had a very bad experience with my mother previously where she was diagnosed with cancer and she fought with everybody and she blamed God for it. And it was a really bad, how can I say, experience with it. What I did was I said, no, it's my experience in this lifetime. It was given to me and I'm going to deal with it. Now, one of two things, either you're going to live with it and you're going to get through it, or you're going to decide this is what kills you. Yes. And like I said, you know, we've had patients with us and support group members that said to me, you know, okay, this is the thing that's going to end it for me. And it ended them, you know, but some of them didn't even pass away from the cancer. They passed away from heart attacks and things like that long before even the cancer would have killed them because they decided that's what it was. And I decided from, you know, right in the beginning, my experience, and I'm not going to let this destroy me and, you know, what I'm, you know, my life at that stage. And I was going to accept that. And I was going to look for the best way to get through it personally and for those people around me. And that's when I started looking at, okay, how do I look at what I'm doing on that specific day and what does it mean? Right. So something really simple, like for instance, now we're going to chemotherapy at Santon and I'm on my way there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here. And they put this drug into me and I go, okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, break my head about it because that thing is there to help me. Obviously we've gone through this whole discussion with the doctors and we know what it is. So I'm going to look and see how do I approach this needle going into my arm with this big bag of stuff coming out and how's it going to help me? Okay. And I focused on those little things first, because what everybody else around you does is they warn you. They say, chemotherapy is so bad for you and it's going to make your hair fall out. It's going to do this. And no, if you focus on those things first, those things become minor things along that road. So it's, you know, those little strips in the train line that go bump, bump every now and then. Those are those little things. And the rest becomes a journey that you can handle. If you focus on those things all the time, then they become a negative a basis for you to start your day. And that was the first thing that I did. And then I started looking at, okay, now I've got past my mind from saying, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. It's an experience that you're going to experience. And then looking at all the little ways to make it better along that journey. So that was really how I was able to actually get there and get through them. And after the second cancer that I had, right, my mind actually changed. What happened was I then determined, okay, so I will then utilize what I experience to help other people. So, and I worked on a thing where I said to, and believe me, once again, all my friends, they know the story. I have to help at least one person a day. That's my goal. I must help at least one person a day. If I don't help one person a day, then to me, I've not done what I'm supposed to. And I won't say I failed, but I've not done what I'm supposed to. But if I help more than one person a day, that's a bonus. And that's really what it is. So all those little things and the tricks of the trade of getting through the cancer therapies and, you know, the pain management and all these things, those experiences then became tools in my toolbox to help people around me and whoever it is, from whichever walk of life, wherever they are. And it even then rolled out to other illnesses like glaucoma. I found out that the pain and that I went through when my eye switched off, patients that go through glaucoma have a similar, they don't have the same thing, but they have a similar effect on their eyes, where the pain is so tremendous because the nerves of the eye are being literally being squashed. And so the pain is unbelievable. So I have an understanding of that kind of level of pain, and I understand how they manage it and things like that. So I could actually help someone. And there was a young guy, well, I think I told you the story long ago when they were putting in the fiber at our house. There was a youngster who had lost his eye to that. And he saw me with a patch on and he asked me what was going on. And I told him. And then he explained to me his situation with losing his eye to glaucoma. And those are the values of going through all those different therapies and the different cancers that I had. And that was the benefit to me to be able to have those tools to help other people around me. That's really what it was.
And sure, Howard, you know, it's incredibly humbling listening to you. I think you're hugely inspirational. You are a beautiful human being. And that, you know, that kind of your mantra is, let me help at least one person every single day. Can you imagine the world we would live in if everybody walked around saying, just one person today, let me help one person? And the fact that you've taken your pain and your struggles and your near-death experiences and everything that goes with it, and you're using it as a tool to help others, again, I'm going to say hugely inspiring. And I love that we can share this time, that you can share this story. And there are people who are listening right now who are inspired by what you're saying, Howard. There are people who started listening to the show who were feeling hopeless and who were feeling like they're in this dark space, and you've shone a light. And I just, you know, the world is filled with amazing, incredible people. And we're so lucky to be able to bring these people onto the show. And clearly you are one of them. So right at the beginning, you said, you know, the last 9 years have been the best and worst time of your life. I hear why you say, when you first said best, I went, best? But I hear you. I hear you to take your pain and to help others. So Howard, we have run out of time and I am going to say goodbye, but very, very quickly, the Cancer Heroes, you know, if people want to get hold of you, if people want to find out more, how do they do that?
Well, we do have a Facebook page, and then also we got a website that's cancer-heroes.com, and people can send us stories or requests and things like that online there. and we've got access to a lovely team. We've got access to doctors. We've got access to support people. We've got access to all kinds of support systems for them. And then we can see how to slot them in the correct place to make that journey easier for them and to make it more manageable for them, as well as their families, by the way, which is a big thing that a lot of people miss sometimes. You know, it's important to give your family support as well.
Thank you, Howard. I'm just looking very quickly that you've got these education initiatives as well, early detection campaigns, raising public awareness through media campaigns, research, training, treatment and rehab support, partnering with affiliates such as other cancer organizations, partnering with healthcare facilities, care agencies, and so people can be in touch with you. That's super, Howard. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for bringing beautiful light to the show today. We appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks so much and appreciate it so much. And God bless everybody during this time. And you guys keep safe and warm.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard. God bless you too. And here's to only good health.